Are the Patriots about to drop the ball because they're not going to get a bag for the number three pick? And will they take Drake May? Let's talk about it with a guy who you've seen for many, many, many years on television. It's someone I grew up with as a Yinzer myself. Merrill Hodge was one of the first running backs that I remember. Merrill Hodge, NFL analyst, is with Gresh and Fourier. And he's joining us to talk about some NFL draft today. Merrill, good afternoon. How are you?
Gentlemen, I couldn't be any better, man. Always good to be the Yinzer.
Well, there you go. That's right. One Yinzer to another. People don't know Yinzer. They know Chip Chopped Ham. And I've been spreading the gospel about the Chip Chopped Ham, Merrill. But you were spreading the draft gospel. And, brother, you caught our ear because it sure as heck seems like here it's going to be Drake May at the number three overall pick in the draft. You had some strong thoughts on him. I do want to ask you, Merrill, because you were pretty tough. There's no question. Hey, this is the kind of guy that gets you fired. I'm curious from you, what kind of reaction did you hear from other NFL brethren who break this kind of stuff down? Were you hearing from people saying, hey, you know what, Merrill, I see it like you do. You're right.
Well, Mark Schlereth, hadn't watched him, and I did a show with Mark Schlereth in Denver. He's on CBS, was at ESPN for a long time as well. And he's like, he said just one thing to me. He only watched three games, so I don't. So you need to watch more than that. But within that body of work, he's like, man, I couldn't believe how inconsistent he was. And I'm like, and it doesn't change. It doesn't change, and he's the same guy for 2 years. And he's marginal at best when he has a good day, like Pitt. He played Pitt. That would be one of the best games that I can say I've seen him play in his 2 years that I studied. And that wouldn't be a game that you went, wow, now that guy is a difference maker. Now that guy is a top three pick. That inconsistency in throwing the football and processing, and that's just some of the problems. There's a whole litany of things that you have to correct and work on. And there'll be a lot of people go, oh, you can teach that, you can fix that, you can work on that. Well, you can teach and fix anything you want, can it ultimately be learned and applied? And there are some things you can't change, and there are some things you cannot fix. And accuracy is one of those things. Now, people, let me tell you this, you can dial it in a little bit, but if you're not an accurate passer and you're an inconsistent passer, that is going to be magnified in the National Football League, because I don't look at where a player is playing. I look at where he's going to play. So I'll give you an example. These two things matter to me the most. They're woven fiber, so they are like one. You can't have one without the other. You got to be a good processor, meaning good decision maker, and you got to be accurate. Okay, and then there's degrees in that realm right there, that we could talk about. But, you got to really be able to do those two in a relatively high degree, and neither one of them he does in a high degree. His consistency and his accuracy is all over the board at short, intermediate, vertical. But then if you stick him in a dirty pocket to an environment that he's going to go to, he's really bad. And he's really not that good when it's a clean pocket. And then if you look at his overall mechanics, he's a lumbering kind of guy. He's not a fast twitch guy. He's slow. His throwing motion is elongated, that slow. You remember Byron Leftwich?
Yep.
Byron Leftwich had one flaw, and it ran him out of the league, and that was his elongated motion. And the reason that ran him out of the league, and this is what happened. Every defensive coordinator that faced Byron Leftwich went, this is exactly what they're thinking, because this is what's happening in the environment they're coming to. Because it happened in college. They're like, okay, you see that 0.3 or 0.4 seconds longer, we can hit him. Let's bring a DB, we'll hit him. We can't hit other guys. And more pressures, more hits, and that ran him out of the league. That eventually ran him out of the league. That was his only flaw. So when you look at I look at him and what he's got to do in this league and the expectations, I got way too many things to fix, a majority of them that I can't. And if we're always working on what we got to fix, what am I going to have time to work on the offense that he's got to learn, the defenses that are going to see him? And he said something that I thought was interesting, which really tells you he has no idea. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. He doesn't even have a clue what he's about to enter. But he said, you'd rather game plan with me than against me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. when these defensive coordinators see what he does and his all his flaws, they will come after him. They will expose him. And I just, that kind of guy, he needs to be drafted. You put him in the first, then the expectations. Okay, when they draft him, who are they already comparing him to? Josh Allen. He is not even close to Josh Allen. There isn't anything results. I see nothing about Josh Allen. And I say, well, yeah, Jake May has that. No, not one. I mean, maybe, I see nothing. There's nothing. So it's just like nothing. But that's what people are going to expect. Listen, I understand a kid wants to go in the first round. I understand it. But what are you guys trying to do there? You're trying to build a team. You're trying to build a championship. Okay, a championship team. Teams win championships. No quarterback's going to win you a Super Bowl all the time. I understand the validity to them and importance of them. But that guy could set you back 5 years in your organization based on all the issues that he had in college and that will be magnified in the National Football League.
So we're talking to Merrill Hodge. And Merrill, you got a pretty good track record. I think the most infamous or famous one that you have is your analysis when you were on First Take with Skip Bayless, dissecting who is it?
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel, yeah.
Yeah, so I would assume that there would be a lot of, GMs and coaches out there that are nervous about possibly drafting a guy like Drake May based on your track record. So how dangerous is it for a team like the Patriots to draft a guy that, that is so, immature and so, lacking talent that he's almost unfixable?
Well, I'm sure you guys probably know that sometimes, whoever the decision maker is, let's say it's the head coach, or let's say it's the GM, let's say it's a collaboration. At any time, ownership can trump that. We all know that. I can tell you story upon story upon story, okay? Doesn't mean the football guys get to make their decision, okay? There can be an owner come in and have a wild idea and go, nope, you're going to draft A, okay? We can do a three-hour feature on that, and we can share story after story that would blow your mind, okay? I don't think that Kraft does that. I think he hires people to do their job and lets them do their job. That's what makes him a good owner. I think how you have to look at this is look at Drake May. Is Drake May, okay, if he's a third pick, is there no other football player available that is better than Drake May? Okay, I haven't looked at all of them, but I could think of a half a dozen that are better than him that the Patriots would beat. I'm just taking the wide receiver department. People are better there than Drake May are going to be a better impact and a quicker impact to help your team. Again, we're building the team, okay? We're not going to solve that in one pick. They use this excuse. This is what's available this year. Well, you got next year. Okay, you're not going to build a championship team this year based on where you guys sit right now, the needs that you have. Man, you can get a lot closer if you do it right. And I just think that when you get caught up, we got to get a quarterback, and then you do something like this where you have a kid with so many issues and inconsistencies, and that, because keep in mind, when you're doing that, it's going to work. It's got to work. If it doesn't work, we all know what happens. Your organization gets been through it.
So who would be a better option then, Merrill? Like if Drake May, let's just say that the unexpected happens and they do trade out, and there's the top six or seven quarterbacks that are out there. You assume Jaden Daniels is gone, Caleb Williams is gone. Who's the next best guy that you have noticed?
Well, listen, I have not looked at every player available, so to really have the Rolodex of all the particular options. Let's say you get stuck at three. Who would you take over there? I can only tell you people that I have seen that I would like. There's Harrison, the wide receiver. The kid from LSU,
his name,
number
Gresh's
eight.
Day.
So there's a couple receivers that just based on what I have seen. But let's say they do trade out, and is there somebody later that you could go draft that you wouldn't be as handicapped and harnessed with, okay, this has got to work, and if it doesn't work, man, we are in trouble. I really started the – I don't know if you know much about the Rattler kid, he was
Spencer
in Oklahoma. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, and he – okay, now I'm telling you that there's a kid who has a really good skill set, and there's really – he's really trying to do the right – things you can tell. He just didn't have an extremely good team around him. A lot of his mistakes came when you had to really, at the end of games, you just happened to make decisions and force the ball and take shots you normally wouldn't. But there was a maturity to him, and I think there's something there that if you got him in the league, not a first rounder, I'm not talking about first, but if you picked him up later, you know, say later in the second round or third round, man, you'd, from a Patriot perspective, okay, we're talking about either doing Drake May or we're trading out of there, getting somebody else who can really contribute to our team. But I know I have a much better feel to be successful on our team and help us, which we need to do in the, when we make that first pick. And then get somebody that I have a chance to develop and has a lot more, a better skill set and less to work on than Drake May would be Rattler. I would take a swing at him. And I don't know if I'd take it till the third round. But if you could get him there, man, I'll tell you this, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, that's one of those that's like, you know, it doesn't work. But I find there's more upside with him than you would have Drake May with all of the issues that exist with him and how he has to play in the National Football League.
Merrill, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. And the breakdown of Drake May and your thoughts. And at some point, we'll have to get you back on to talk about the demise of the running back in the NFL and how people are trying to turn everyone into unfactor backs, or at least with their paychecks anyway. Merrill, thank you, man. We appreciate it.
You get you guys. You bet you, boys. See you guys.
There we go. And by the way, And Merrill has a book out as well. Merrill's book is Find a Way. And you can go to merrillhodge.com for more information on that.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.